Such a privilege to worship with you this morning and be part of the family of God here. To just watch all that God is doing in this family. And I just really want to honor Steve and Sandra Long and Mary Audrey Raycroft and John and Carol. They're not here, but John and Patricia, what you have created here, what you have built here to house, you know, the move of the Spirit is so extraordinary that, you know, 15 years later, 17 years later, the presence of God is just so thick. I was here in the very early days. In fact, I was here in 1993. Were you at that meeting, Mary Audrey Aycroft, in October? 1993 in October. And, you know, Toronto Airport Church at the time, Toronto Airport Vineyard at the time, was a church of 250 people. And Wesley had come out to speak at family camp in the summer, and John had invited him back because Wesley had given him these prophetic tapes. We were a Baptist church, and we had this huge move of the Spirit, and subsequently we also joined the Vineyard. And Wesley had given John these prophetic tapes, and John had not asked him this question, well, could they do it here? And he was kind of intrigued. And Wesley says, for sure they can do it anywhere. So Wesley brought a couple of us out. We were going to speak at Peter Jackson's church in Barrie, Ontario. That was our first invitation in October. And Wesley brought me and a couple other people from our church. And John had gathered a small group in the old building and asked us to prophesy. And so we began to prophesy. I think we just shocked him. John told Wesley later he didn't really like it. It was so like, you know, because the way I prophesy is a little different. But now you all do it. I mean, come on. Anyway, about this huge move of the Spirit that was coming here. About this huge move of God that would be coming here. And that there would be signs and there would be wonders. And the scripture that the Lord gave me, that such a move of God was happening, that people would be tempted, like when they set out the 72, you know, to be so in awe of the signs and wonders. And Jesus' admonition to the 72 when they came back was, you know, not to rejoice in just all the signs, but to remember that your name is written in the book of life. Because God has a longing. And God has a desire. What God wants and why God pours out His Spirit, this place is such a place of visitation / habitation for God, where God has come with His Spirit. God has landed in this place. It is like a Bethel, like, wow, you know, let's build a house for God. This is where He's landed. He's come here. And hundreds of thousands of people through the years have come here. I don't know, probably, I don't know how many have become Christians for the first time. I remember 2 years into the renewal, John Arnott told me that 10,000 people. I mean, I was here when it was 250 people. 10,000 people had given their life first time to Jesus just passing through here. Spawning, I was saying yesterday, spawned, you know, Brownsville, 100,000 people from a shaking, prophetic little girl, you know, sparking something that was going on. And another place of visitation, and 100,000 people in 1 year in Brownsville gave their life to Jesus. And I've been all over the world, Mexico, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, through the move that spawned here. Indonesia, you know, massive move of God through there. England, you know, all the way through the Anglican Church, entire denominations coming to Jesus Christ because God came. Wow, and you stewarded it. You built it. You said, yes, yes. And many of you stayed up till 2 a.m., 3 a.m., got up for work the next day, came back the next night, just served all these strangers, some of whom were rude. You know what I mean? But you wanted everybody to feel God's presence, to get a touch from God. And this is, you know, such a family that you have created here that embraces the whole world, that says you can all come to God's house. You can all come. God's here. God's here. You can all come. Because that is really the heart of God. That is what God wants. And you know what? I saw all those babies and, you know, next generations and dedicating them to God from, you know, from this place where God came on a missionary Sunday. My mind just connects dots, you know. And we had communion together in the family of God. And, you know, it reminds me of Ephesians 3, where the great apostle Paul, who just began to get God's heart for the world and went out on all those apostolic journeys, those missionary journeys. He prayed this for this reason. I bow my knees before the Father, because he's our Father. I added that. I bow my knees before the Father to walk in God's love, the Father's blessing. This is, you understand this revelation of the Father. The young man who I shared communion with, Andrea, and then, I forget his name, but he's opened his prayer with Daddy God, Abba. You know, it's such a revelation from every person here of the Father's heart. It's so beautiful. He's a father and he's a family, you know. He said, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven, all the families in heaven, and every family on the earth derives its name. Every single family from every single nation, from every single age, from all eternity past. You know, from when God created Adam and said it's not good for man to be alone, and created a wife, you know, from his rib so that they could have a family. And said, you know, be fruitful and multiply, create family all over the world. It's so awesome. You know, this is such a heart of the family. And, you know, I was thinking the other day when we landed here, the Lord gave me a prophetic word. I don't think we have it here. But about this place being a place of visitation where the Spirit came out of the longing of God for humanity. The Spirit landed here. He found a willing heart in John and Carol. He found a willing family that would steward his move, and the Spirit came. And, you know, I feel like there's a transition happening all over the world when I look around the world, that those who have been touched by God, the Spirit comes to them. We only love him because he first loved us. But then there is a corresponding, you know, love that when you've been touched by the love of God, you just are compelled to give it away. That's why all this missionary thing. But I feel, you know, that God is starting to give us an understanding of not only his family, but his house. About the Father's house. About God's house. And that when the Spirit says come, the bride also just starts rising up and saying, come, come. She begins to talk the same language of God. And she starts saying, come, come, come. And God, and the church that has been touched by God, the people that have been touched by God, begin to understand, like it was Abraham, wasn't it? That where Bethel, was that Abraham or Jacob? Which one? Jacob. My mind, you know, this 51 and a half year old mind, it just doesn't pull in the data the same way. There's just sort of blank spaces, you know. So you can help me out. Be like the blacks and preach with me, you know, help me out, come on. Come on. I love going to black churches because they get this family thing and they all help each other. They help the preacher, you know. You know, he built it because God landed there. And what Jacob responded was he built him a house. And I feel like what the Lord is saying, there's another level that he wants to do here. That's going to actually increase the move of God exponentially around the world, because this is a Bethel. And now we need to build God's house. And what Jesus said, he began to describe, you know, what his house looked like, and he said, my house is a house of prayer. Why? Why is his house a house of prayer? Because it's a house where we begin to minister to God. Out of love, we begin to talk to him. We begin to relate to him and minister to him and talk to him like they do in heaven, where they never stop worshiping him and ministering to him. Like those altars, those are the ones who serve him day and night in his temple. Those ones with white robes, you know, drenched in blood that she saw. Those ones, it says they minister to him day and night in his temple. Wow. I remember the day I read that and said, I want that job in heaven. That's the job. What do you have to do to get that job? And then I found out what you had to do to get that job. Oh, ooh, help me, Jesus. You can read that. It's pretty intense. Anyway, But there's a corresponding cry that I believe that God is looking for. Now, you have to understand, when God does things, it's always 100% based on desire. Nobody has to. This is not a house of, you know, duty and a house of religion, which you understand. It's a father's house. It's a family. This is, you know, this is compelled by love. This is, you know, touched by the Father's love. Give it away. This is all about desire. The cry of the Spirit is come. And then the cry of the bride, the one married to the Lamb, the wife of the Lamb, says also begins to say, come, and actually starts building a house for the family to live in. And the house that we must build for God is a house of prayer for all nations. The house of God's house, God's house, the house of prayer, the house that God lives in, his house, is a house of prayer. But what's it always unto? What's it unto? For all nations, for all the nations. Because when the cry of heaven, you know, matches the cry of earth begins to ascend, you know, the prayers of the saints begin to ascend. What happens is they're actually mixed with the prayers on the altar. They actually mix and they come right back down, because God wants, he's not willing for any to perish. He's filled with love. His heart is way bigger than us. He sees people we'll never see. He intercedes for them day and night at the right hand of God. Jesus does. The great intercessor, that's what he does in heaven. And he has this consuming desire. He wants us. You know, we talked about John 17 this morning. I just thought, wow, God's just saying this all over the place in so many different ways, with the babies, the missionaries, the visitation, the martyrs, the, you know, and John 17, Leslie kept talking about John 17. This is eternal life, that we know God. To give the knowledge of God away. And how we get the knowledge of God is we spend time in his presence and we talk to him. And we just start looking at him and we begin to behold him. And as we behold him, we're transformed into the very same image, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. And the knowledge of God just becomes, you know, comes through our lives. It's just like like osmosis. You spend time, long enough time in somebody's presence, you begin to feel what they feel and think what they think and understand what they understand in the way that they understand it. And he has a desire that we would be with him where he is. My favorite verse in all of John 17. And I love John 17. It's such a wonderful chapter. You know, this is a prayer of Jesus. And then, you know, very often we think of, you know, our prayers, and we look at apostolic prayers and the prayers of the prophets and all this. I mean, we've, you know, I know lots of different Bible prayers, because we wrote books on prayer and I do it all the time. But this prayer, you don't often see God praying. You don't often get to listen in to what God really wants. And in John 17, instead, you know, he's often listening to what we want. But when we actually listen in to what he wants, when we start listening to his prayer, he prays, you know, what he really, really wants. This is what he wants, what he really, really wants. You know, have you ever thought about that? And I'm telling you, what he wants is so consuming to him. He's so burning with this desire. He so wants it that he's willing to give up what he doesn't want, because his other major prayer is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's telling you what he doesn't want. He doesn't want to go to the cross. He's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, and he's wrestling, and he's saying, can't you stay awake with me? I don't really want to, because he understood what would happen, that he would become the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Every last sin, the sin of omission, the sin of commission, the sin of thoughts, the evil deeds. You can imagine one day's worth of sin around the world. And all of that, he became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin. But what he wanted was so consuming that he was willing, for the joy set before him, to endure the cross, to despise the shame. You know, because you are the joy set before him. And he wants you, you, your family, your children, your street, your neighborhood, all of Toronto, your province, your nation, Pakistan. He wants them, every single human being made in his image, from whom every family in heaven and every family on earth derives its name. He wants them. And he tells us this in John 17, verse 24. My favorite verse in John 17 is this verse. John 17, 24. He's saying what he wants, you know, and protect them by the power of your name. And he's talking to God about, you know, I've manifested your name, and I gave them your glory so they could be one. You know, just like you and I are one, that same oneness that we enjoy. Lord, I'm praying that they would, you know, understand that type of one. Lord, that they would be one, that they would have that, you know, so that always, it's always the unto, so that the world would believe that you sent me and that you love them. God wants everybody to know that he loves them. He loves them. God is love. God loves. God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he says this, finally he gets to the pinnacle of this prayer. This is to me the pinnacle. And he can't help himself anymore. And in the NASB, it says this, Father, Abba, I desire. This is what I want. This is what I long for. This is my desire, Father, that they also, speaking of the disciples, whom you have given me. And he also said earlier in the prayer, and everyone who will believe on me through their witness. So he's talking about all of us who believe on the apostolic witness of the early church. That's all of us. This is what God wants. That all of them would be with me where I am, so they can see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. And that's what God wants. This is heaven to God. This is what he wants. This is what he really wants. He wants you to be with him where he is, so he can show you his glory, the pleasures that are at his right hand forevermore, unveil himself throughout all eternity. You know, I mean, it's just going to be so awesome to be in his presence. And that's why, you know, Mike Bickle says, or Misty or somebody from there says this, they say, you know, every time they say holy, it's not just about lack of sin, it's about all the nature of God. And that's why they just can't stop saying it. They look and they go, holy, 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 and they just can't stop saying it. And they're so moved that the elders cast their crowns down. And Julie Meyer said she had a dream where she went to heaven and saw that. And she said, Stacy, they weren't just kind of rocking. She said they were throwing their crowns with all their might at the foot of the throne. So, whoa, whoa. Ken got, boo. And this is the Spirit saying, come. The Spirit says, come. Jesus said, come, 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 come to the banqueting table. Come, you have no money, come, you know, buy and eat. And, you know, it's just like, this is the longing of God that we come. And there was a man, almost 1,000 years before Jesus prayed this prayer, there was one man who actually got it, who actually, you know, who actually prayed the identical prayer, the exact same prayer that Jesus prays here. There was a man almost 1,000 years, a shepherd, that prayed the exact same prayer. The Bible calls this man a man after God's own heart. You know, he calls Moses the friend of God, Abraham the friend of God. You are my friends if you do, I say. But this man, he actually got it. He got like the center of the heart of God, the very core desires inside of God. David actually got them. And before he even heard this prayer, he was, something was coming up out of him. There was a corresponding cry from the bride that said, come, 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 come. And this is what he prayed. He prayed it in Psalm 27, verse 4. I woke up yesterday to hearing this song, just sung over and over and over again. And he says this, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever to behold his beauty. Father, I desire one thing. I desire that those whom you have given me would be with me where I am, that I could dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to behold my glory, to behold the beauty of the Lord. I mean, he prays the exact same prayer. And you see, when the corresponding cry of come comes from the bride, it will actually manifest in building the house that God wants. Because David gave his life to build a house for God. It's called the Tabernacle of David. But really, David began to get revelation, and David began to look, and David began to say, come, come. Wow, I want God in my backyard, if you've ever heard Wesley preach on that. You know, I got to get that box. I got to move it to my house. I want God to come to my house. I want God to come to my nation. In fact, I'm going to build something, you know, that's actually illegal. I want everybody to have access to God, because he got the very center of his heart that the house of prayer was always for all nations. That the tabernacle of David, the tabernacle of Moses, where people could come, he actually took away the veil so that everybody could come in and begin to talk to God. And when they talked to God and they ministered to him, I am telling you what happened is they were overcome with passion, and they went out and they took a nation, and they brought a nation back to God. And a dancing man filled with worship got brought the presence of God back to his nation. Come on. Wow. This is like so exciting. That, see, if we build the house according to the heavenly pattern, first apostles, second prophets. I mean, there's ways and order that God says to build the house. Everybody counts. Every joint is supplying something. You know, many members, one body, that whole thing. But there is an essence that God is giving revelation to in our hour about building. Like, but really what it is it's that cry from the bride that says, come, 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 come. Come, like David had come, come in my backyard. I'm going to come out there. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you. Yes, I'm going to go to war. Yes, I'm going to go to battle. Yes, I'm going to bring, you know, bring the nation back to you. Yes, I'm going to do all those things. Everything you tell me, I'm going to do. But I just have to be in your presence and say, come, come, come. And this is the essence, I believe, of the next thing, and I want to give you one last little scripture before I end with an application here, is that how do I know it's about a house for God? Because 1 Chronicles 17 says this, and it came about when David lived in his house. How many of you have a house you live in? The only place? Okay, we all live somewhere. That David said to Nathan the prophet, behold, I'm living in a house of cedar. Look at my house. It's awesome. I got a cedar house. Maybe you got an awesome house and you just really like it. But he says, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under curtains. Look at God's house. It's just like under curtains. What's up with this picture? Something's desperately wrong here. And Nathan goes, Eureka, I never thought about that. you know, look at God's house. It's just a tent. It's just like, it's nothing. It's nothing. And look at your awesome house. And look at, yeah, there's something wrong with this picture. So Nathan, you're kind of gets it and goes, you're right. You know, do everything that's in your heart, for God is with you. He's just prophesying out of the flesh. Anyway, it came about that same night that the word of God came to Nathan saying, go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build a house for me to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel to this day. But I have gone from tent to tent and from one dwelling place to another. In all the places where I have walked with, optimum word, with all Israel. Have I spoken a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built a house for me, a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, I took you. Now don't remember where you came from. I made, you know, you didn't make me great. You're not going to make my name great. You're not going to do that. He kind of rebukes him. He says, like, I made you great. Don't forget it. God made this place great. God, by his own presence, landed here. He made it great. He made it famous all over the world. And, not that I ever thought you ever thought like David, but anyway. So, but basically he tells them that, you know, he doesn't want him to build a house. But right there you get a lot of insight into the heart of God. That the kind of house that God wants is the kind of house where, you know, God never asked for a great house. God loved the tent. And why did God love the tent? Because when he was in the tent, he could move where the people moved. He could go where the people go. And heaven to God is to be with you where you are. I desire that they would be with me where I am. And what God wants is like a family. He's in the center. And I'm telling you, the final revelation of the bride of Christ is not a bride, it's a city where she comes down out of heaven, dressed like a bride, adorned for her garment, Revelation 21. And there it says this, it says, and I, the tabernacle of God is amongst men. The house of God is with people. This is heaven. It comes down and he's tabernacling because this is what he wants, to be with you where you are. In fact, as soon as Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit could fall. And what he says is, you are my temple. You are my house. You are my dwelling place, because God so wants relationship and he wants his family to be with him where he is, so that heaven to God, the Lamb is the temple in the center, and it's surrounded on the foundation stones are the names of the, you know, 12 of the apostles. And the doors are the names of the 12 apostles, and it's the old and new covenants coming together, all the people that are bringing them around God, and we're all ministering to God. This is his house. You are his family. You are. He wants you with him all throughout all eternity, to be with him where he is. That is heaven to God. And I feel like what God is calling Toronto to here, this wonderful Catch the Fire church, where you've caught the fire, where the Spirit said, come, and he came. He's wanting the bride to say, come at a whole new level. Come, come, Jesus, come. We're not satisfied. We thank you that you came, but we are hungry for more of you. We have more desire. We are on fire. And the older we get, the more fire we have for your presence to come. So we're going to build you a house of prayer, so that your desire for all the nations will actually be satisfied. That everybody from Pakistan and Brazil and Indonesia and India and Canada and Toronto and your block and your house will be with him throughout all eternity where he is. And as an application, I know you started this, and I know that the Lord has given a mandate to John and Patricia. You know, a fire in there to build this house, to build God's house, because it's the Father's house, because it's the Father's blessing, because it's every family in heaven and every family on earth. We're not there yet. They're not all there yet. They're not all with him where he is yet. So we need to build his house. And I feel like the Lord is calling you as a people where he came, to respond like Jacob and build Bethel. Build the house of God. His house is a house of prayer. And come. You know, I don't know how many prayer meetings a week you have, and I know it's really what he wants is a praying church. Not all of them are going to be 24/7. Even like Mike Bickle, says he thinks there's probably going to be 10 or 12 on the earth. But where there is a church where we actually start saying, okay, move from a block a month to a block a day to a, three blocks a day or whatever it can be. You know how they had in the Tabernacle of David, it was originally not a 24/7. David said like five times a day, I do it. And really, Daniel did it three times a day. And, some people do it once a day. Some people do it once a week. But I feel like this community that has housed the move of the Spirit, the Lord is calling you again. And if you say, come, if you keep saying, come, if you keep saying, God, it's not enough. We saw it. We've seen you. This is not enough. We want more. And you build his house and you begin to build the house of prayer. I am telling you, the come will get louder and louder and louder until it touches the ends of the world at a whole new level. And Jesus' prayer will be answered. That millions and millions of people would be with him where he is. And once you've tasted it, you know what it's like when they come. I don't know, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than everybody else. And I don't know, there's such joy in the heart of God when they all come. There's so much delight in God's heart. And I had this prophecy one time about sickles. And, I hear sickles. And it was like, I could hear sickles. But it's like when you added prayer to the go, you know what I mean? When you added the come to the go. What happened is that the sickle grew longer and you could just reap twice as much harvest, 10 times as much harvest when you added the come to the go. And that's all I really have to say. But I feel like God is going to call certain ones of you to begin to commit yourself to a regular time of prayer. Could be once a month, could be once a week, could be once a day. Could be a couple times a day. But God is beginning to move from this place. Here, I feel you're going to raise up a whole new understanding, the next level, as it were, for the heart of God, for the Father's heart, to be compelled by love, to talk to him, to get his heart at a whole new level, to be transformed from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Just have his glory move as you talk to him. And then suddenly, boom, you're willing to go anywhere, like this brother beaten for the gospel. Like Shabazz Bati, murdered for the gospel, martyred for the gospel. But he's going to get up and he's going to go right back to that very same place. I tell you what, only love would do that. And it helps us to love when we behold love. It helps us. This is not a religious duty. This is the cry of the bride. This is going to fill the earth. Come. 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 For those of you who feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, okay, he's putting a spark in your heart to commit yourself to cry, come. To join yourself to a block of prayer a week or a month or a day, whatever you have grace for. I feel like, the Lord we're just going to do an altar call and we're going to pray for supernatural grace to understand what it is that you're saying when you come to those prayer meetings. They're not prayer meetings. They're relationship meetings. They're talking to God. So he can give you his heart and show you what he sees. You can feel what he feels at the level he feels it at. The longing of God that not one person would perish. In this Bethel, Lord, we just want to say thank you that you've anointed Patricia with this desire to build the house where you landed. This is the house of God. My Father's house is a house of prayer. And Patricia, if you would just come up here, let's just release like revelation for what it really is from the heart of God. And Father, we pray you'd protect us from duty instead of desire. Lord, we want to feel it like you feel it. We want to have your longing pierce us. Lord, we want to be able to say, Father. Yes. We desire to be with you where you are. We're coming to sit with you. We're coming to love you. We're coming to minister to you. Whether we feel like it or not today, we're kind of tired and kind of grumpy. We yelled at the kids. But we know if we could just sit with you, if we would just be with you, if we could just minister to you, if we could look at you, worship you, we could come out a little different. But Father, I ask that you would build your house here. I ask, God, that you would co-labor with this company of people who seek your face day after day, week after week, crying out, come, come, come. Lord, that you'd meet with them. And Lord, you'd share the depths of who you are. And you'd show them your glory. And they'd see your beauty like they've never seen it before. And they would be filled with the one thing, the song of one thing. The song, one thing, would erupt not from one man, but from thousands and thousands of people in this meeting place called Toronto.